Start this button. Awesome. Joey Massio becoming bullyproof. Put that there. Hopefully they can still hear me. They got my clickers there. Awesome. This is Moonhead's Guide to Becoming Bullyproof with Joey Massio. That's me. Raise your hand if you've ever heard me speak before. Woo! Yeah, they're all my friends. Raise your hand if you're like, who's this bald guy? Yeah, they're my soon-to-be friends. Yeah, awesome. That's great. I spoke last year here. I also spoke at the LDSHE 2 years in a row now, which was fun. Yeah. All right, super fun. I'm excited. Raise your hand. Has anybody heard me talk, like, give this presentation before? Oh, okay, awesome. I did give this at LDSHE. You guys are like, we're back for more. All right, awesome. Good. Yes, sir.
What exactly is a moonhead?
Oh, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. But first, let me introduce myself. So I run Sidekick to Hero. It's a company, it's an online curriculum for teens. A lot of homeschool kids are in it. Raise your hand if you're in Sidekick to Hero. There's a couple. Yeah, awesome. Make sure you introduce yourself to me by name. Some people come up and are like, hey, Joey. And I'm like, I don't see your faces in the program, so I don't know it's you, right? So you have to let me know these things. So it's super fun. That's what my vendor booth is all about. A lot of fun. So if you like what you see today, then you can get more of that, but at home, at the comfort of your own couch, with my face on your computer telling more stories and teaching you more things, then Sidekick Hero is for you. Is that, oh, good lady. I teach seventh grade at American Heritage down in Utah, so that's a lot of fun. I've been a seventh grade teacher for 8 years. I own an escape room in Utah called Escapes in Time, so that's a lot of fun as well. And I've been doing improv comedy. This is comedy sports. I've done that for 20 years, which is a lot of fun. I was also a performer at Disneyland. I'm the only actor in Disney history to have played both Darth Maul and the Mad Hatter. So I'm pretty versatile. All right. Both of those are me. It took an hour and a half to get into makeup and 45 minutes to get out of makeup for the shift. I was in the Jedi Training Academy show, so that was a lot of fun. Also, one magical night, they asked me to do a special event and do a character that doesn't usually ever come out. And I was honored because I'm a big Disneyland fan. One night, I was one of the hitchhiking ghosts at the Haunted Mansion. One of those is me. If you know, put your hand down if you already heard this. But what's your guess? Which one of those?
Middle one.
Oh, we got a lot of votes for middle.
Middle.
Okay. If you say middle, then we're good. We got middle covered. All right. Who thinks the one over here?
Left.
Ah, he's like, there's no bald people in it, Joey, obviously. So who thinks this one? Yeah? All right, it could be. I am that one. That was back when I had hair. Long, luscious hair. Okay, it's a wig. Some people were like, I can tell because of the nose. And I'm like, that's a fake nose. That's the nose for the Wicked Witch from Snow White. And then I get self-conscious, and it's great. All right. Okay, so I want to show you guys a commercial from the 90s. I know, you don't really know what commercials are like the long ones at least. You know what the ads are like? You know, come on, skip. I just wanted to, but they were way different back in the 90s. This commercial was famous, all right, and it's for McDonald's, okay? Hopefully the sound works here. Let's see. All right, hopefully they didn't play in the other room. I just realized that. Did it? So sorry. That's the only audio I have. That's it. That's all I got. Okay, they're like, why are we listening to McDonald's radio ad? All right, so His name was called Mac Tonight. Mac Tonight was McDonald's character to sell the fact that they were now open late. I know you guys are used to McDonald's 24/7 all the time, forever, but it wasn't always like that. They used to close. You used to be able, like, you know, 9 o'clock, you'd pull on it, like, dude, eating's over, go home, right? Like, go to bed, right? But then they were like, wait a minute, more money. And they decided to open later, and they came up with this guy with a crescent moon forehead, and they were like, yeah, we're open till late. They weren't even 24/7 then. Then they were like open till like midnight, and that was like, oh, what? Crazy, all right? But this commercial changed my life. Not because it ain't McDonald's. It changed my life, but not for the better. I want to tell you the story of Moonhead. I was a seventh grader, and I was going to school, and it was a couple months in. I mean, seventh graders were all new at the school. This was a middle school, so it was just seventh and eighth grade. And I'm walking around. I didn't have too many friends at the time, which I was fine with, but I had a giant backpack. And I was scrawny, and I was walking around, but my head was about the same size as it is now. It just had hair on top of it, so it looked even bigger than it does right now, right? And so I'm walking, and there's a group of eighth graders, right, over by the bathrooms. School's over, and I'm walking home, and I have to pass the bathrooms on the way off campus. And I'm walking, and one of them just says this: "Look at that kid's head, it's huge." And I'm like, well, they can't be talking about me. I keep walking, and they're like, hey, kid, hey. And I'm like, what? Oh, they're talking about me. And they're like, dude, look at his chin. It's so pointy and long. His whole head is long. Dude, and one of them was like, dude, you know that McDonald's commercial? He looks like the guy from the McDonald's commercial. And they're like, yeah, you do the one with the crescent moon for a head. Hey, what's up, Moonhead? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and I just got out of there as fast as I could. Right? And they're like, yeah, get out of here, Moonhead. Moonhead kid. And on the way home, I'm like sitting there and just thinking, like my heart's racing. I'm like, what just happened? I didn't say anything to him. I didn't do anything to him. And that was horrible. I hope it never happens again. Well, next day, I'm walking again, and they see me. And they did not forget the awesome moniker they made up for me. Right? And they're like, hey, look, it's Moonhead again. What's up, Moonhead? Yeah, go get us a Big Mac, Moonhead. And they're all laughing. I'm like, oh. And it became a thing. It became a repetitive thing that they would see me. And in fact, whenever the bell rang, my heart dropped into my stomach. So I'm like, I want to see those guys. This is the worst. Right? And I started getting a complex. I started sitting there being like, why is my head so weirdly shaped? This is horrible. I can't even do anything about it. It's not like I can eat less or do sit-ups or head-ups or something to make it smaller. There's absolutely nothing I can do. And I was getting sad. I'd cry about it. My mom would be like, honey, you're fine. You look normal. And I'd be like, shut up, Mom. You have to say that. I obviously don't look normal, right? Because these guys, this is like, I'm disfigured. And that was the thought. I started walking around. I'm disfigured. This is horrible, right? And I hated it. Until one day, everything changed. I'm walking. Before they see me, I see them. And I hear one of them hit his friend and say, hey, shut up, twig. And I stopped and I'm like, yeah, that one is skinny. Like sickly skinny. And the one who hit him, he's kind of large. And the ringleader, the one who came up with the name Moonhead, he's really hairy for a 13-year-old. Like, I mean, mustache, hairy arms and everything. And all of a sudden, my brain exploded. All right? Metaphorically. And because it started to rewrite how I saw everything. And this was some of the rewrites that happened. One was, hey, we're all weird looking. We're in middle school. Another one was, well, I think this is just how these guys talk to each other. I think that's like, I don't think them calling me Moonhead had anything to do with me. I think it has to do with who they are. They like to just point out each other's flaws, even to their friends, and make up a name about it. And I was like, huh. And then another one was, well, they're weird looking, and they think they're cool. And then the thought that changed everything for me was this. And I remember it to this day. I had this new thought, and my thought was, you know what? Yeah, I do have a big head. And I'm still freaking awesome. Huh. And that thought never occurred to me. Never. The whole time I'm like, no, fight, Richard. Oh, no. They should stop. They're so mean. Right? And then, but the second I thought that, I was like, huh. And I went from this to like, hold my backpack. And then all that happened was like seconds. Okay? And I'm walking, and then they see me. Oh, look, it's Moonhead. What's up, Moonhead? And I said, hi. And they were like, oh, it talks. You know? I've never said anything to them before. You know? And I was like, what's up? And they're like, shut up. Get out of here, Moonhead. And they didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, all right, bye. And I left. And on the way home, I'm like, oh, that was different. Oh, ooh, I think I can capitalize on this. All right? So the next day, I'm like, all right, I got this. All right? They saw me. They're like, what's up, Moonhead? I'm like, hey, what's up? And they're like, go get us a Big Mac. You want pickles? No? All right. No pickle. Big Mac, no pickles. Got it. And they were like, and then I practiced, and eventually we got to this relationship. Moonhead, what's up, guys? You get two Big Macs and no pickles, right? Jerry, no pickles? Right? Like, yeah, no pickles. Ah, dude, that Moonhead, he's crazy. I love that kid. What changed? What changed?
You went from being scared to having a good attitude about it.
Yes, and you nailed it in the first word, you. I changed. They didn't change. They weren't talked to by the principal, even though my mom called, right? Nothing happened. They didn't go, oh, I'm so sorry. I recognize that's a really rude thing to say. They didn't change, right? I changed. Yes, and that changed everything. I changed my attitude, and that changed everything. This is what I'm here to teach you guys how to do today, all right? Now, there are 5 rules to becoming bullyproof. And Aaron, Will, if you guys can't solve it, it's fine. All right, we're in a groove. We got it. But thank you for all your effort. Okay. So, 5 rules of becoming bullyproof. All right. And we're going to blow through this because usually this is an hour. I got to do this in 45 minutes. All right. So, are you still trying, Will? Oh. Oh. See, look at that. The second I let go of it, boom, all of a sudden now. It works. That's always the way things happen, right? I'm not waiting for my mom anymore. I've been waiting for 15 minutes. Bye. She comes around the corner. Oh, what? All right. Always, every time. All right. Let's go to this. All right. Rule number 1 for becoming bullyproof. You don't need others to change. Let's talk about that. All right. So there are 2 fronts in the war on bullying, okay? A front is where most of the fighting is happening, right? One army meets the other. That's where, like, you know, the brass tacks and everything happens, all right? Awesome. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Any better than before?
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I mean, if you could turn it up. Turn it up, yes?
Yeah.
Yes, they're like, yeah, because now I'm talking quieter because I can't yell into the microphone. All right, okay. 2 fronts in the war on bullying. You might be familiar with them. I know some people are like, we're homeschooled, so we don't really see any of that. No, you do, but you might not see what the school institutions or other churches also do it too. Is that good? Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes, awesome. Thank you very much, person who is not Will or Aaron. Thank you.
I'm Cam.
Cam! Everybody give Cam a big round of applause. She actually solved it. All right, so 2 fronts in the war on bullying. All right, 1 is let's change the bully, right? They'll do this during October is National Bullying Prevention Month, okay? And again, as homeschoolers, you don't really see that. I'm a public school teacher, and so I would see that a ton. They hang up signs, anti-bullying week. Usually they call it Kindness Week, and there'd be signs, Kindness Week, and there'd be bully-free zone, stop bullying. Which, of course, those signs always worked. The bullies are like, I'm so excited to bully kids. Oh, no. It's a bully-free zone this week. Oh, I'm not welcome. And then they leave. No, never happened. In fact, usually it made it worse. right? They go, oh, boy, right? You know, and then they start, and they'd even make videos, all right? And for those who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the church made one, right? I remember watching it. It's just like all the other videos, right? There's some big kid who usually has a thick neck and has a red head. Sorry, redheads, right? But you're usually the bullies, right? You know, sitting there and going around and like pushing, you know, a kid and putting him in his locker, you know, shaking him upside down until his money falls out and all this. And like, usually it's so caricature, right? Where and they'll show these at school. They'll show these videos at school. And they're hoping that the bully is watching and being like, oh man, I identify as that bully character. I can finally see myself for who I am. I should change. And then they change. Now, maybe that happens. Maybe. I would love it. But what usually happens is this. The kids who are like, you know what? I need to be a little nicer. Or the kids who were probably nice anyway, right? Or already aware of it. And the kids who are bullies and who actually need to hear it, where are they in the assembly or in the church, you know, activity? Where are they? Usually in the very back. And they're usually on their phones, not paying attention, right? Is there feedback?
It might be from the other room.
Is she coming in through the speaker? I'll just tell them to turn it off. Hey, Will, let's just abandon all microphones.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Oh, is it off?
It's working for you guys.
Well, but we can hear her. You're like, oh, you caught on to that, did you? Yeah. It's all right. Yeah, I would just turn that off. It sounds like somebody's watching a video on their phone. I keep like, who's watching? But it's her. Her. No, she's great. She's fantastic. So the change in the bullying doesn't work. They've been doing it for decades. Doesn't work, right? Not effective. The second front in the war on bullying is let's inspire a bystander, right? We see this with, if you see something, say something. Right. In fact, there was even one where Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, he had a video and he's part of this organization where it's like, let's stand up for other people. And I love being the hero. Like, I have a hero complex. You know, like, I love, like, my company's called Sidekick to Hero. I love that. If you do see something, you should totally say something. Studies do show that if one person goes, hey, dude, knock it off, right, the bullying decreases dramatically. But, man, a lot of stars have to align for a bystander, for this inspire a bystander to work, all right? A, the bullying has to be public, all right? B, the bystander has to see and notice that, you know what, I think there's bullying going on here, and I think this kid wants it to stop. And C, the bystander has to be comfortable enough to be able to say something and potentially risk being the new target, right, of that person. And they have to be okay with that. That's a lot of stars. I'm not saying it never happens. I'm saying not the focus, not an effective front to be working on. All right? So for me, what do both of these have in common, both of these solutions?
Other people have to help your bullying stop.
Yes. Other people have to help stop the bullying. Other people. Okay? And I don't know about you, right, but I am not a fan of giving my power to somebody else. Or relying on my life improvement to be solved by another person. I'm not a fan of that. When I work with the teens I coach, I teach them, nope, power's all in your hands, right? So I think there's a secret third front in the war on bullying, and it is strengthen the target, right? If you're the target of bullying, now, by the way, I'm saying bullying, and some of you guys are like, well, I've never been like held upside down by a redheaded kid and shaken until my money, it's never happened. This goes to everything from that mean girl at church who's excluding you to your cousins or your brother who keeps saying something that you're like, ah, like, stop it. I don't like it when you say that, but yet they keep doing it. This covers all that stuff, okay? So here is how I strengthen the target. I teach this. This is called the self-coaching model. Raise your hand if you've seen this before. All right, awesome. Raise your hand if you've seen this before, not from me. Ooh, okay, nice. Very nice. All right, cool. So, this is based in cognitive behavioral techniques. And essentially, this says circumstances are things that are outside of our control, generally speaking. They trigger thoughts. Thoughts give us our feelings. Feelings drive our actions. Actions give us our results. All right. For example, if I have homework or schoolwork, as you would just call it, just regular schoolwork, right? If I have homework and I'm like, oh, this is so boring, you're going to feel defeated. So you'll watch YouTube instead, right? And then you'll do your work at the last minute or not at all, right? I want to talk to new people, but they're going to think I'm weird, which is the number one thing all kids are scared of, is that somebody's going to think they're weird, right? So then you feel awkward before you even start the conversation. They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm weird, right? So then you speak in half sentences, you're looking away, and you're not being yourself, which is you acting weird, right? And so these are self-fulfilling prophecies, or what's called a negative feedback loop, all right? So if we're getting results we don't like, which step up here should we start with? Where are my model people? Yell it out. Thoughts, exactly. We should start with changing our thoughts. Okay? That is the main place that everything goes wrong. All right? Change the way you think about your homework, you'll do it more, or your schoolwork, and you'll do it more. Change the way you think about what other people might think about you, and then it's going to change the way you talk to people. Right? So for me, this was my model that was going on. They were calling me Moonhead, and I was literally thinking, I'm disfigured. Me and Quasimodo, man, we're like kindred spirits, you know. I should be up there in a bell tower, but sanctuary, sanctuary, because of the shape of my head, you know. And that made me feel worthless. And when I felt worthless, I acted shy, I was quiet, and I was more fragile. I have a weird head. Don't make fun of it. Oh, they're making fun of it. Right? And that was me being fragile. And then I don't like life. Nobody would like life who's acting this way, right? Unless you love being shy. That's different, right? If you love being shy, totally cool. Me, I like not being shy. But I'm disfigured. I should just shut up and go into the background and let the pretty people, right, talk. And people with the normal shaped heads, right, I should back away, right? But where were things going wrong for me?
Thoughts.
Some people say, them. Oh, my goodness, they should stop. They're mean, and they should stop that. And I agree, right? I agree. That would be great. Not in my control. Not in my control. So that's what I went about changing. Instead of I'm disfigured, my thought was, yeah, I do have a big head. And I'm still freaking awesome. And that changed the way I felt, which changed the way I acted, which changed the results I was getting. All right? Now, I did have that. Perfect. So see, that's how I became confident, right? Or self-confident. And then my life or my result was, I'm awesome. I'm still awesome to this day. All right. So some of you guys know this guy. Some of you guys don't. He's a church leader. He has this quote. He says, the joy we feel has little to do with this, the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. I love this quote. All right. This is the model. The joy we feel, so my feelings have little to do with people calling me Moonhead and everything to do with my focus. And I'm like, wait, I thought my joy had everything to do with those kids calling me names, right? I thought like, wait a minute. No, he says, and I agree, that the joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances or what other people say or do and everything to do with what we focus on in our heads, which I love that. All right, so that's rule number one. You don't need others to change, okay? Now, there'll be time for Q&A at the end. I want to rush through these rules, and then we'll do some Q&A. I'll also be at my booth. If you're like, hey, Joey, wait a minute. What about this or what about that? Like, I'll be there. Come talk to me there. All right, during lunch, I'd like to hang out and chat with you guys. Now, rule number two, own your flaws. Own your flaws. Let's talk about this one. Owning your flaws in two easy steps. Get ready to write this down, those with pen, paper and pencil. Right? Step one, love everything about you. And some of you guys are like, oh, yeah, I should be writing this stuff down. All right, come on, people. All right, I thought you guys were homeschool students. All right. Step one, love everything about yourself. Step two, repeat step one. That's it. I know. Second one's hard to remember. No, it's just the one step, guys. It's just the one step. Love everything, and I mean everything about yourself, including your flaws. And when I say flaws today, I'm including things that aren't actually really flaws, but you think they're flaws. My head is not a flaw, but I thought it was, right? And so even perceived flaws, okay? Now, including your flaws. This is called being flossom, okay? Yes, I am flawed, and I'm still awesome. Right? Ah, flossom. Right? I didn't come up with that word. I wish I did. All right. In fact, my wife and I, we just changed. Don't follow Sidekick to Hero. First off, don't have an Instagram account unless you're older. All right. So we actually just changed it to the Flossom Family. Right? And so if you're going to follow us at the Flossom Family. But I haven't changed them yet on the slides. Because I just think that's just so awesome. And everything I teach is all about becoming Flossom. Yeah. I did create this one, though. And I'm happy with it. Because the opposite of being Flossom is being Flawful. Not falafel. Okay? Yeah, sounds like food. Not falafel, Flawful. Which means, no, I'm awful because of my flaws. My flaws make me someone who needs to just shut up and kind of shrink to the back. And all the pretty people can do the things, right? Or all the people who are funny, or all the people who are good at football, or all the people who are taller or shorter, who have hair, whatever, right? No, so don't be flawful. You only got two choices, okay? Either, you know what, I'm just going to be flawsome, or I'm going to be flawful, right? I suggest being flawsome, okay? Now, here's a thing about confidence. I coach kids all the time, college students, kids, and they're like, I want to be confident. And I go, okay, if you were confident, what would change? Oh, I'd be able to talk to girls or guys, right? I'd be able to make the team. I'd audition for the play and I'd make it. I'd just be able to talk to more people and make more friends. And I go, oh, you want to be able to do everything successfully? And they go, yeah, I want to be good at everything. I go, I'm a good coach. I'm not that good. I can't make you good at everything. In fact, you will never be good at everything. You will never be successful at everything. So I tell people, you don't want confidence. But what I'm hearing is what you want is you want self-confidence. And they go, yeah, well, same difference. I mean, no, there's a big difference between confidence and self-confidence. My definition of confidence is the ability to be successful. If you gave me a skateboard right now, I could do a kickflip on it. All right? Because I've done it hundreds of times. Who was there at the LDSHE when somebody actually brought up a skateboard? Right? And I think I almost landed it that time. Yeah. I'm getting older. My confidence in being able to do a kickflip is slightly waning. But I've done 100. I was doing kickflips before some of you guys were even born. Right? So I'm confident I can do it successfully. That's what confidence is. Yes, I can do the thing, whatever it is. But my confidence in being able to do kickflips does not make me a confident speaker. Confidence is non-transferable. Meaning you can't take it from one area and transfer it to another area because you haven't done that other thing yet, right? So confidence is useless. I tell you don't want confidence, it's useless. It's like, huh? You only have confidence in things you can already do, all right? That doesn't help you grow. What you want is you want self-confidence. Self-confidence is the ability to fail successfully. People are like, those are opposites, what? Fail successfully, yes, fail successfully. The ability to not be able to do a kickflip and go, oh, all right, this doesn't mean anything about me. The ability to go up to somebody and go, hey, you want to go to that dance? Or like maybe last night, hey, you want to dance with me? And have them go, I have two left feet. I don't dance. I'm sorry. Bye. Right? And leave and have you go, and have your brain not go, oh, I'm the worst. I'm so ugly. I'm Quasimodo. Sanctuary. Right? Like, that's the ability to fail successfully. Is, hey, you want to dance with me? No, I'm good. Bye. All right. Hey, do you want to dance with me? Right? Like, that's self-confidence, right? Because self-confidence is not taking any perceived flaw personal. Then you go, all right, and you go out there, you start dancing by yourself. I've done that, right? I'm going to dance by myself, right? I'm here to have fun. And if people don't want to dance with me, that's okay. I'm still awesome. They're missing out, but also I'm just going to let them miss out, right? That's totally okay. It's not one of those, you don't know what you're missing, girl. I'm a catch. Right? It's not that. It's just, hey, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to. Nobody has to dance with me. Right? I'm just going to go be awesome, and the people who will want to dance with me will eventually find me. I did get married, by the way. People are all, you're married? Yes, I got married. I got four kids. Okay. Now, all right, I call it the wear it on the shirt test. So this is how you love your flaw. The wear it on the shirt test. I was coaching this girl, okay? She's about 14. So coaching her on Zoom, and she goes, oh, Joey, I'm getting bullied. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And she's like, these boys at school, they're calling me horse girl. And I go, and instantly my brain started to look at her face and her physicality. I'm like, she doesn't look like a horse to me, but middle school boys, right? Like, they didn't come up with anything. And so I'm like, well, why are they calling you that? And she's like, because I ride horses on the weekends. And I go, okay. And I look up on her wall behind her, And I see all these pictures of horses. I see blue ribbons from her winning medals from riding horses. Like, she's into riding horses. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm confused. Why are you not horse girl? And she was like, what? I'm like, why are you not horse girl? Why are you not walking around with a shirt that says horse girl on it? And she's like, well, the way they're saying it, it's the way they're saying it. I'm like, wait, tell me what. The way they're saying it is making you think what? That it's bad. Do you think it's bad? No. Why are you believing them? You should be able to get to a point where you loved your flaws perceived. Her riding a horse is not a flaw, but she thought it was, right? She was. That's a bad thing to do. Riding horses is bad. No, it's not, right? But whatever it is, me being able to walk around with a shirt that says Moonhead on it, right? Me being able to walk around being like, I'm so short, I can fit into hobbit holes, right? Like whatever, you know, short and proud. Like that's how you know you've owned your flaws, is when you can wear it on the shirt and go, yeah, I like anime, I have a stutter. She must be watching. She's getting me back. Dude, that mine's louder. Hopefully it's short-lived. If not, you want to go check? Thanks. If it's short, that's fine, but if this is like the next 10 minutes of her presentation,
I like it.
Yeah. All right. No, I can't talk over this. Oh, wait.
Yo, can I have a dance party?
Yeah. All right. Impromptu. Halfway through dance party. Go. Stand up and dance. Yeah. I want to see a bunch of people wearing shirts that say, I can't dance on it. Right? Yeah. Ah, yeah. Everybody right now, that was probably the best thing that's ever happened. All those people were just like, I don't want to be the first. I don't want to do that. All right? All you guys got to work on your self-confidence. All right? And some of you guys are like, I just don't want to dance. That's cool. All right. So, all right, number two is own your flaws. Guys, it takes practice. It takes you stopping yourself in the mirror, staring at the thing you don't like, your freckles, your pimples, whatever it is, right? If it's physical and going, because I would do that. I would stare at the mirror at my head and go, you know, it's not, no, it is. And you sit and you focus on it, right? That brings us to the next rule. The next rule in becoming bully-proof is the gap is an illusion. The gap is an illusion. All right, here's what I mean by that. We think in caricatures. Anybody seen a caricature artist? Right? I mean, look at these three hideously disfigured people. Right? Why do we let them leave the house? Right? Especially her. Oh my goodness. Right? And then you look at who they actually are and you go, oh, wait a minute. No, they're completely normal looking. Right? In fact, this one's even kind of cute, right? You know, so I've had some boys be like, she's cute, actually. I'm like, oh, I'll get you her number. No, I don't know her. I don't know any of these people, right? But they're all normal looking. But our brain does this. Our brain will take our flaw and expand it, make it a bigger deal, right? When everybody else looks at us and just mostly goes, yeah, I know, you're you. And you're like, but me is bad, right? But we only do this for ourselves, usually. When we look at other people, yeah, we might think in caricatures, but they look like this. Right? This is me, and that's Taylor Swift. Yeah, her nose is so tiny, but it's like cute tiny. And yeah, she has a lot of hair, but it looks great. We'll do that. We'll sit. I just talked to a parent who said, yeah, her son, 18 years old, not here today. Her son is like, it's tall, nice hair, and I'm like, jealous. And he's good looking, but he like won't go talk. I'm like, I told her, I said, other people probably look at him and go, he's got it all. If I was him, I'd be able to talk to people. He can't talk to people, right? You know, even though he has all the right looks, it has nothing to do with looks, and we do this, right? We create a gap between everybody else and us. In fact, some of us are doing this where we put ourselves on an island, all by ourselves, that we said, no, nobody else is like me, Mom, right? Yeah, I know, Mom, don't tell me I don't have a big head. I do. In fact, my disfigurement is so bad, nobody else in the history of this school has ever looked as bad as me, right? And we'll do that. And we'll say, oh, right? And we'll put ourselves on an island of ugly unicorns, of which is a population of one, and it's just you. And you're like, no, I'm an ugly unicorn. Joey, I can't do this because my thing is so bad. I coached a kid who had a severe stutter. In just regular conversations with me, it would take him longer to say things. And he'd be like, no, like, mine's different. Obviously, you can hear it. You know, there's no way that I can be, I can own my flaw. This is horrible. And when I finally got him to see it, life got better for him at school. And because kids were making fun of him, and, what was the line I had them say? I got him to say. It was essentially, I told him, I said, you don't have to respond to anybody, because there were some bullies who were talking, like, making fun of him, trying to get him to talk. And I'm like, you don't have to respond to anybody. In fact, your thoughts should be, you don't get to hear my stutter. It's like, special. You know, you don't get to hear it. You know, it's rare, you know, like, kind of thing. He's like, I never thought of it that way. You know, and I was like, yeah, you, like, it just changes everything, right? But you are not an ugly unicorn, where your situation is worse than everybody else. In fact, usually, this is a slide you'd add in. I usually add in a picture of Nick Vujicic. Anybody know Nick Vujicic? He's a guy who was born with no arms and no legs. Okay? And he's a motivational speaker. And he's amazing. Right? And so anybody who's like, no, my situation is, I'm the ugly unicorn, I'm unique, I go, Nick Vujicic. And they go, all right, fine. Right. Mine's not as bad, right? Nobody's as bad as Nick Vujicic, and he can swim, he can surf, he's married with kids, he has no arms and no legs.
How does he?
You need to see a video. I need to put a video of this. Yeah, no, he swims and he surfs. He swims better than me, and I got arms. Okay, all right. So here's the best way, or I should say this: Dumbo's story. I was in charge of the youth in my church. We're all hanging out, and there's a guy, he's a senior. He had the biggest ears I've ever seen. They stuck out from the side of his head, right? Super big. But man, this kid, he was homecoming king. He was so popular, all this other stuff. And I found out why. We're all hanging out, and this was the buddy kind of bullying, the buddy bullies. They were like, oh, shut up. And they made fun of his ears. And without dropping a beat, he just said, they made a documentary about me in my ears. And they were like, what? Yeah, Dumbo. It's coming out this year, right? And they were like, he's like, you know. And that was when the live action Dumbo movie was coming out a couple years ago, you know. And I'm like, oh, and he said he meant it. He passed the wear it on the shirt test, right? Hello, I'm Dumbo. Hey, look at my ears. They're satellites. Whatever. Like, he could wear shirts like that because he literally owned his fly. Yeah, I got big ears. So what, right? And it didn't stop him. Right, he got married to a beautiful girl, and they just announced that they're having twins. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is great, right? You know, and he just owned it. This is what people say, oh, I can care less what people think. I always second guess people. Do you really care less? I don't care if you care what they think. I care what you think about your flaws. That gets you to the point of not caring what other people think, because you already think it's fine. But if you're like, no, I wish my ears were smaller, my head was smaller, right, whatever, then that's where you gotta get the work, right? The yes and response, best way to respond to any bullying. When somebody says something, rather than going, no, shut up, you're, rather than doing that, this is number one rule of improv comedy, is yes and. When somebody says, what's up, Beaver, you got big teeth, you're like, oh, I do, don't I? I'm gonna go chop down a tree right now, see ya. Right? It takes away their power, and they go, all right, and they roll with it, right? And like, that's the best way to respond, but you can only do that if you've done rule two, which is owned your flaw. If you try this and you've not owned your flaw, it turns into this. Yeah, I'm a beaver. I'll go chop down a tree with my big, giant, ugly teeth. And then later at night, you're in the fetal position crying yourself to sleep. Oh, I hate my face. Don't do that, right? So don't do this until you've owned your flaw, okay? And then do it, okay? That's the number one response. So that's number three, the gap is an illusion. Number four, there are no bullies. Guys, I got 5 minutes to rock through these last two, so we're going to go fast. But this one blows people's minds, okay? There's a movie called The Matrix. It's a very famous meme from it right now. In short, he's not in real life. He's in this computer program, and everything's fake. And so he goes into this room, and there's a small monk kid who's bald. and he's bending a spoon with his mind, and he's like, whoa, how are you doing that? Right? And he goes, the trick is to realize the truth. There is no spoon. And he's like, oh, it's like this moment where it's like, oh, crazy, right? You know, that's what I'm saying. There are no bullies. They do not exist. And some people are like, yes, they do. Joey, your story, they existed in your story. Right? And I'm like, well, this is what I mean, okay? This is Martin Buber. And yes, his name is funny. You can laugh. All right? Now, Martin Buber was a philosopher, and he said that there's two kinds of relationships you can have with somebody else. You can have an I-it relationship or an I-you. All right, I-it means I'm a person, but you're an object for me to use to get something that I want. And bullies typically are like, hey, I'm going to use Joey and his big head to get my friends to laugh. I want people to laugh at me. So, hey, Moonhead, wasn't that funny? Guys laugh at me, right? I just used that kid. Right? They don't realize that, but that's an I-it. He says, don't have that relationship. Have an I-you relationship. I'm a person, you're a person. I'm going to treat you like a person. I'm going to recognize you got feelings and all that. Really, really good. When a bully makes fun of us, it's an I-it relationship, duh, obviously. But when we go, they're such a bully, and they're rude, they're jerks, and they're going to end up living in a van down by the river their whole life, flipping burgers, right? That's also an I-it relationship. Oh, that's not music. All right? It was good timing, but I wish it was music, all right? That's also an I-it relationship, okay? We'll have to take questions later, because right now I got to get through this, okay? Which means we're using them to get something that we want. And we're like, I don't want anything. No, when you're being made fun of, they're just mean. They're just punks. They're just jerks, right? It lets you stay in victim mode, which lets you let go of the power and go, well, I can't change it, and then you don't have to do any of this work. You can just go home and be sad and hope that other people will change if they're just a bully. But bullies like that, they don't exist. Yes, people are mean and say rude things, 100%. Yes. But when we sit there and go, they're a bully, we're not having an I-you relationship. And for those who are Christians, Christ said we need to have that relationship with people, right, where we can understand them and love them, even those who are your enemy. And it changes the way they have power over you when you can do this. And it's powerful. Okay? So this is my definition of a bully. I don't say bully, but I say bully because this is a lot longer to say. Okay? All right? A bully is a regular person trying to use you to get something they want in a way you don't like. That's it. They're a regular person. All right? Some people even think they're even nice. And you're like, how? Some people do. Right? In fact, they are even nice sometimes in their life, just not right now. And you know what? That's okay, because there are times in my life when I'm not nice. Oh, and I got to work on that. Right? For myself. All right? Now, this always leads, don't have time for this story. This always leads to this question. People go, so I just let them say and do whatever they want? And I go, no, of course not. Of course not. That's why there's rule number five. Rule number five is seek justice, not revenge. There's a difference, okay? So draw a line for you, okay? The line that if somebody crosses this, then justice needs to be served in some way. In fact, we have this in real life, all right? Speed limit. If you go over that, then you can get a ticket. Murder. If you stabby-stab somebody, then you're going to go to jail, right? You know, like, that's the line. Don't do that, right? We have lines all over the place. We need lines for society to function, right? So when I work with kids in the school setting or otherwise, I go, what do you want your line to be, right? I often recommend lines like this, right? If they're calling you slurs, if they're taking your physical stuff, putting it in the trash, if they're hitting you, those are all lines that they've crossed in society. And now justice needs to be served, but justice is not revenge, okay? Justice is good. I want justice to be served, but it's not revenge. There's a difference, and the big difference is a third party with authority and power. So when you go up to somebody, you know what? I'm going to punch them, and they'll stop making fun of me. That will pay back, right? That's called revenge, and that's you trying to be Batman, okay? All right, a lot of anger there, okay? Justice involves usually an adult figure, right? If there is one available. In your homeschool co-op, there's adult figures. At church, there's adult figures. In school, adult figures. There's not always one, but when there is, this is the best way to seek recourse, to seek This way. That's the best way. Sorry. Justice is the best way to go about doing it. Now, to end here, when people are like, yeah, but what if we've told the adult and it's not stopping? First, I would say, well, remember all the other rules of becoming bully-proof, right? And there are things you like, right? You know, quite often, if somebody's picking up your backpack, putting it in the trash, right, or they're hitting you, and an adult talks to them, usually that part will stop because now they're like, oh, well, now I'm accountable. But it might revert back down to just the name calling. All right, whatever, Moonhead, I won't touch your stuff, but I'll still call you Moonhead, right? Then I say, well, just remember the other rules of becoming bully-proof. But second, even if that person never gets justice, or if you never get justice, I would say, again, this is somebody of faith, I would say, if justice never comes, realize that justice always comes, right? Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? And it might not come in this world, it might not come in whatever way, but for me, that's something that makes me feel better about it, right? I'm like, hey, you know what? Justice will eventually come for them. But also, my favorite, again, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In the Book of Mormon, there's a prophet, his name's Jacob. For those who don't know Jacob, he was raised with two big brother bullies, all right, called Laman and Lemuel. All right, and they were the biggest bullies ever. They beat up their brothers. They called them names. They tied them up. They did horrible things, right? Jacob went through all of that, watching his brothers just being punks and really not really getting any justice from it. But he wrote my favorite line of scripture ever, right? He wrote this. He said, "Oh, all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God and feast upon his love, for you may, if your minds are firm forever." I'm like, that's a guy who was like, I mean, witnessed abuse and all this other stuff, and he's writing pure poetry. Levi, we'll get to your comment in just a second, okay? But lift up your heads, which means sometimes our heads are going to hang down. Sometimes life is built that way. Our heads will be hanging down, all right? But you can if you focus on the Word of God and His love. And if your minds are firm, I love that, a firm mind, right? That means someone who is controlling the thoughts that they are thinking. Right? Think of that model, right? Because that's going to affect everything else. Okay? Now, this is how you become anti-fragile. Something that's fragile breaks when it's dropped. Right? Something that's anti-fragile gets stronger when it's dropped. Or stronger under pressure. That's what I want for you guys. If somebody's attacking you or doing it, I want you to become stronger because of it, mentally especially. All right? Like Oobleck, exactly like Oobleck. Yes, exactly. All right, those are the five rules of becoming bully-proof. And ending here, all right, three last things. First, running a convention special for Psychic Hero. I teach a lot of stuff, confidence, emotional skills, social skills, productivity, setting goals, entrepreneur stuff, all in Psychic to Hero, all through fun stories and whatnot. Convention special, buy 6 months, get 6 months free. Go talk to your parents and say, hey, go talk to that bald guy over there at that booth. His name's Joey. You can call him Moonhead if you want. They won't. But you can call him Moonhead. But go talk to him to get that. Second thing, I'm doing a summer event this summer down in Utah. I did my first one last year. Doing a second one this year. It was a lot of fun. Two different sessions. We're going to go tubing down the Provo River, laser tag escape room, my escape room biz. We're going to hiking, a bunch of fun activities. And then as we go, we're going to sit down and do mini workshops. Throughout the whole 3 days. It's not a sleepover, it's 9 to 9. We do workshops on confidence. So that's happening, the flyer's on my booth. And lastly, this is my favorite saying, I came up with it. This is my story, I am the hero. I have wristbands that say this. They're free at my booth. Go grab one, they're orange. I believe you are the hero of your own story. The hero is the only one who can rise up and change the ending of the story. And so I hope you realize that you are the hero of your own story. Thank you very much for being here. All right, you may move on. Well, I'll be up here for questions for the next 5 minutes or comments. All right, thank you.